The latest map from the U.S. Drought Monitor is out today and shows 46% of the state of California in the most severe level of drought. That is up slightly from last week and almost twice what it was a year ago. 99.8% of California is in some level of drought right now, a drought that is in its fourth year, and when it will end is anybody's guess. But if worst case scenarios are correct, it could last for years, and that is something that Australia knows a thing or two about. It suffered a drought that lasted from 1995 to 2012 and fundamentally changed the way the country uses water. So what can California learn from Australia? Joining us via Skype from Melbourne, Australia is Rebecca Nelson, a senior fellow at the University of Melbourne School of Law and a fellow at the Woods Institute for the Environment at Stanford University. Rebecca, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, and take us back to the drought in Australia from 1995 to 2012. How bad was it? How did Australia cope with it?
Well, I think the numbers that you just gave there in terms of the duration give you a hint. I mean, it was the worst drought on record, the worst drought in living memory. And the way that Australia dealt with it was through fairly significant changes to laws and fairly significant changes to the ways that people used water in their everyday lives. So we had the federal government coming in to control the use of water for the first time ever, which in the United States context sounds a little shocking, and it was shocking in Australia as well. But I guess desperate times call for desperate measures. We had extreme restrictions on the ways that people could use water in their households and in their yards. And we had caps put on the amount of water that could be withdrawn from basins all over the eastern side of the country.
And how long did it take to get to that point till the government decided to put these caps on?
In 2007, the federal government passed a very significant law that placed those caps on basins across the East Coast. But there were previously caps that were in place, although they were a little spotty around the place. So the 2007 law made those extend across the most important basin, the Murray-Darling Basin in the eastern states. So it was a fundamental change, but it was also an evolution from a situation that had been changing since 1995.
The other thing that people have been looking at in California is farmers who are not as affected by the mandatory cuts as regular people living in Los Angeles or San Francisco. How did Australia deal with their farmers during the drought?
Farmers had to cut back their water use very significantly. Allocations that were made against water rights were in many cases 0%. So if you had a water right, it was a right on paper only, and you didn't get any wet water against that right. So farmers definitely had to cut back use and were feeling the pain as much, if not more, than people in cities.
Australia also put in place restrictions that are still in place today. There are meters that really monitor everybody's water usage that they didn't have before that drought.
That's right. So anything above a certain minimum amount of water use is metered. It provides more information into the system, more data that you can use to manage your water system, because if water's short, then you need to manage all the water that's there effectively. If we're thinking about water restrictions in place in cities, what were in the drought considered to be exceptional restrictions are now permanent water-saving rules. So water conservation activities that were seen as exceptional are now seen as commonplace and everyday.
Rebecca, the other thing that has come up in California is obviously how the environment fits into this and how much water should go to help certain kinds of fish in California, or should it be rerouted and sent down to help farmers? How did Australia balance that, the balance between the environment and the economy?
That tension between the environment and the economy was the absolute number one issue in Australia during the drought. And it was dealt with in law in ways that were very contentious at the time and continue to be contentious, because the law said that you have to set aside water for key ecological assets, depending on your interpretation of the law, either first or in equal priority to water for human needs. So by providing for key assets, it's a more transparent process. People know where the water's going and how it's going there.
Did Australia resort to spending a lot of money on desalination projects or pipelines to take water from a wetter part of the country to some of the drier parts?
Yes, particularly in my home state, the state of Victoria, they did both of those things. So we had a multi-billion dollar desalination plant built, and we also had a very significant billion dollar pipeline from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state built. Both of those projects are now in a wet period, not in use. And while people saw that they were really important infrastructure measures during drought, those kinds of costs become fairly controversial when they're not being used during wet periods.
Do you think it was a mistake to build them?
Personally, I do not think it was a mistake. I think that when it starts raining, people forget what drought is like. But in a climate like the climate that we have, which is a boom and bust climate, we will have drought again, and those infrastructure measures will be necessary again. You might want to quibble about exactly how they were built, but I think you don't want to waste a good crisis to put in place measures that will make dealing with the next crisis easier.
So given all that you know about the drought in Australia, what should California be doing right now to deal with its drought?
Don't waste the crisis. Make sure that with the momentum and the concern and the attention on the issue, that proactive measures are taken to deal with it, not just now, but to make sure that when the next drought comes, there's a way of dealing with it so that the crisis isn't quite so severe. For example, in terms of groundwater use in California, measure it. Measure what you're using. Implement your laws a little quicker to get to a more sustainable management regime, so that the next time this thing comes around, you'll be more prepared for it. And don't forget about the environment. Groundwater supports ecological assets as well as human consumptive purposes. It's not just about surface water and fish. It's about the forests. It's about groundwater discharging to streams. I think that was a lesson learned in Australia, that you need to look at the water cycle as a whole. And when drought happens, recognize the value of all elements of that water cycle.
And what grade would you give the state of California on how it's performing on those things right now?
In relation to groundwater, it would maybe be a bear pass.
And what about environment, balancing the environment?
So I'm going to focus here on groundwater because that's my area of expertise. I don't think there is at all a sufficient recognition in California that groundwater supports ecosystems. I think people think about groundwater and almond farms, and they don't think about groundwater discharging to rivers, being vital for rivers and supporting fish or supporting springs in the desert or anything like that. So I think there needs to be a major leap in awareness on that front. And there's a major way for law to go to follow up that awareness with protection for those systems.
Rebecca, as we said, California is entering year 4 of drought. Australia's lasted for 17 years. We're already, though, hearing stories in California about what this means for the future of the state. Is California going to be a place that can have tens of millions of people and be the state that provides 50% of the fruits and vegetables in the United States? Can it really continue to be the California that we know? With all of your experience, what do you think? Is that overblown? Should we just, cool it a little bit and think about how to deal with the drought, but not think it's going to change the state forever, or what?
I think maybe the nature of agriculture could well change. If I reflect on the Australian situation during the drought, it happened that rice farmers were no longer really able to farm rice in the Murray-Darling Basin because there wasn't enough water. But because higher value crops and higher value croppers can afford to pay more for water, can buy water from those rice farmers, there's a lot more vineyards. There are a lot more horticultural activities, and there's a lot less rice and cotton. So if water is able to move through water markets, which is what happened in Australia as a key measure to deal with the drought, being able to sell and buy water so that it moves to its highest value use, then I see no reason why agriculture can't continue. It just might look a little different than what it looks like today.
That's Rebecca Nelson, a senior fellow at the University of Melbourne School of Law, also a fellow at the Woods Institute for the Environment at Stanford University in California. Rebecca, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.